Hey, what's going on, good people? It's Gardner Douglas, your Oyster Ninja. We are recording. The volume is on.
Yeah, it is.
So I'm here with Chef Stephen Clark. We're in St. Louis here for the Schlafly. I always feel insecure about saying Schlafly.
I do too. Yeah. Schlafly.
Yeah, I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to mess my name up.
We're all saying, remember, like, laugh, Schlafly.
Schlafly. That makes it easier. Schlafly, Stout and Oyster Festival. And it seems as though I'm just going to be interviewing some of these great, I'm going to call them characters, because you got to be a character to be an oyster shucker, and you got to be a character to be in an oyster community, honestly. Like, true. Like just like that. So again, today I got Chef Stephen, who I just recently saw on the Martha Stewart show.
Martha Stewart, yes.
In his wife's chef, white chef jacket. And I'm going to apologize ahead of time, because he brought this bottle of, was it 15 year, 12 year or something?
It was a lot of years.
And, Balvenie, double wood, 12 year. And it's delicious. And
we bought it in the hood last night,
but my taste buds are telling on me. I hope you guys enjoy this episode.
It'll be fun.
Chef.
Yes,
my
sir.
Friend, Steven, how are you, man?
I'm great. We are here in St. Louis. We flew in last night from Seattle. It's an honor to be here once again. This is my second year doing this, and I feel lucky and honored to be in this group of characters that we have here with us from the East Coast and West Coast. It's really a wonderful thing to be a part of.
Just tell me, man, how the heck did you make it? From, I guess, walk me through the journey from Martha Stewart to St. Louis.
Oh, Martha Stewart. Well, that journey began when I was a local chef on Whidbey Island. I was working local restaurants up in there, and I ended up being in Burlington at this little cafe. It was an open kitchen. It was just a bunch of guys from my culinary school that we got together afterwards after we graduated. I went to Edmonds Community College, studied under Chef Walter Bronowitz and Chef John Casey, husband of Kathy Casey, of Seattle renowned chef. And I was really lucky to be in that corner window of time for my culinary experience there. I mean, I had lots of years working in the industry only because I didn't want to pack a lunch for a job I went to. I wanted to work in a restaurant where I got a free meal, because I was poor, broke, and a big stoner, right? And so we work in a restaurant, we get a free meal, and we go party at the end of the night. So that graduated into me working local gigs, and then I finally went to culinary school to fill in the gaps, and I met some really, really talented people. And they opened a restaurant up in Burlington, and it was an open kitchen cafe. It had like Ski-Doos and Big Mike Choppers and West Coast Choppers in the building in front of us. And we had this cafe, and we'd serve big giant portions of chicken fried steaks. And that's pretty much where I got my feet wet, in fast cafe style food. And one of our customers was Mr. Raul Jeffords. And he rode his bike up one day and he goes, "Hey, I want you to come work on the farm." And I was like, "I don't know anything about mussels. All I know is how to cook them." And I left the cafe and went to work for the farm. And that entailed another 14 years of my life working at the farm with Mr. Raul Jeffords. And
so, not to cut you off, but what was your duties at the farm?
There was a lot of duties. I ran the mussel raft. I drove the Mule Mariner, which was the transport picking up mussels from the harvest boat to the shore. I drove truck. I delivered Seattle. I basically filled in for all the truck drivers. So I did Rawls Route, Pike Place Market, First Avenue, Second Avenue, Fourth Avenue, all the big, big restaurants. We were, I was the fill-in guy. Hence, I learned about St. Louis working there, because every time St. Louis popped up, guess who filled in for everybody who went to St. Louis? This guy. And, it took 14 years of me working there. And I was like, what's going on? How's St. Louis work? And it was always a big mystery. All I knew was that there was a ton of oysters going out there, and all I heard was some crazy stories I'm not able to repeat, you know. But I left the farm after 14 years, not out of ill repute or bad thing. I just realized I'd gone as far as I could go there, you know, mad respect. I was their chef. Whenever there was a demo or a food show, I would go do that and set up. That's how the Martha Stewart thing happened. It was a Sunday, and we knew Martha Stewart's crew was in town, and they had been filming for a couple of days out there. We're like, whatever. You know, we get all these celebrity chefs out there, and, you know, they don't, you know, we're the farmers. It's Sunday. You know, we just want to get done. And Sunday's the easiest day for us. And I happened to have a big show with my band, Monkey Hill, the night before. Saturday night, it was a big gig for us. And I got home late and there was an after party. And one thing led to another. That led to my massive hangover that morning. I was working the clam raft that morning and they came out and started filming us.
What's a clam raft?
Okay, so on the farm, they have mussel rafts. That's how the mussels are
Okay.
raised and done. You see that in the video. I don't want to get into that. But there's a specific raft for oysters. And for clams, you know, on the oyster raft, hence oysters, right? We get oysters from other farms and then we hook them and then we hang them in the bay so they become Penn
Okay.
Cove shellfish,
Gotcha.
right? And we do the same thing with clams. We get like 600, 700 pounds of clams. We're going to hang each 25-pound bag in the water. And that way they survive until we get the orders and we fill the orders. We pull the bags up, separate them into 5, 10, 25-pound bags, and the occasional 15-pounder, you know. We fill those up and we fill the order for that day. We put them in totes, ice them up, and then the boat comes out, hooks them up, puts them on the boat. That goes to the beach. Then it goes to a tractor to the beach, then a forklift to the truck. Right. Sorry, I talk with my hands a lot
It's
today.
all good.
And then that truck goes to the farm and then it gets processed and broken down to each truck, and then it goes out for deliveries the next morning. So I happened to be working the clam raft that day, and I had a little crew, and we were putting together this massive order of clams. And that's where you see me cut the bag, putting them in the bin, the water, right? And then Martha Stewart goes, former chef Stephen Clark. That has bugged me every time I see that, because it's like once you're a chef,
Your chef.
you're a chef. And there's no former about it. I could say the same thing about her former TV host, Martha Stewart, who was on parole, who couldn't come out because she was on parole. She couldn't leave the state because of tax fraud or whatever. I'm not ill. I'm not sour at all about that at all. Not at all. So, former chef Stephen Clark was working the clam raft at that time. I wore all my Seahawks gear. I wore hat and see it, you know, all of my championship stuff because I knew they were coming. And they came out, filmed a little bit, and I get a call about an hour later. Steve, they want to go film you working on the, or they want to film you cooking mussels on the beach. I need 2 hours. Come get me now. So the skiff, they came out, picked me up off the raft. They drove me to the beach, took me to my car. I went home. I took a shower, grabbed my chef gear, and went and bought a bottle of wine, some basil, some garlic, and butter. And I came back 2 hours later. I'm like, I'm ready. Okay, let's do this. I'm ready. I was so tired and hungover. I didn't expect to be doing this thing. So we met him at down at the beach. It was a beautiful setting. The fog was in there. The ferry was coming in. Sun was just right. They had their cameras out. I had this pot, and I, you know, I kind of did everything wrong. You know, you're not supposed to bring the wine to a simmer, right? You're supposed to bring everything to temp together, right? Not all at once. Otherwise, mussels will just like glue together or die and become non-edible. So I did everything right in the recipe. You'll see. I don't want to get into that either. But I had to look. I had trouble looking. I kept looking at the director and not the camera. She's like, look over here, look over here. And now say, I had to say the tagline. Now that's how you cook mussels on the beach at least 20 times. Let's try that again. Let's try that again. Wait, there's something on the top of your pot. We need to wipe that off. Again, wiping it off. I was like, I touched it. It's coming off. I'm pouring it out. It's going to get messy. You know. Let's try that line one more time.
We're cooking in real time here.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's gonna happen.
So you don't see any of that in the. I wish there was a blooper reel because there was a lot of bloopers.
Yeah.
Because I kept looking at the director, and it's like the camera's over here. And
Well, how was.
anyway, so that went off great. They enjoyed the muscles. I ended up on TV, and yeah, that's how that happened.
That's an awesome experience for one. It's one you, I can tell you'll never forget. 'Cause how long was that ago?
I would say 12 years ago,
And the way you describe it is just like yesterday.
yesterday,
So that's awesome.
former
That's,
chef Stephen Clark.
hey, former chef, put some respect on my name,
That's
huh?
it. Yeah.
So,
Former TV host, whatever.
now you're gonna get me canceled, man.
No, she's great. I love her. She gave me a DVD. It's wonderful. It's okay.
All right. So you worked on the so you went to chef school. You worked at the diner.
Met Raw.
Met Raw. He brought you to Pin Cove. You worked there for 14
Did everything
years.
except work in the office, pretty much.
Roger that. You finally made it to St. Louis, but tell me about it, 'cause I recently did a class for this chef school. And literally, oyster shell. Every chef I've talked to, they say they tell you a little bit about shucking oysters, but they don't really go into it. And so that's why I went. I was like, I went. I talked to Chef Andy Clark. I met him when I was working at Rappahannock, and great dude, great chef. And I was just catching up with him, and he was telling me he was part of the chef school. Now I said, well, we should team up. Let me come out and teach students, your future chefs, about oyster shucking the way it should be done, and not how the school does it. So he agreed, and we worked it out, and it was a great class. And I really think all of them took something away from that. So if you want to hire me for consulting about oysters, yeah, I'm here for hire. this episode is brought to you by SS Shucking, Mobile Oyster Bar. Here we are. So how did you actually learn how to shuck?
Okay, well, like I said, I've been in the industry for a while. I learned simply by ordering oysters and having figuring out how to make a good mignonette and doing oysters on a half shell. I learned just trial and error.
What's a good mignonette since you brought it up?
Oh, lemon, oil, a little balsamic and salt and pepper.
Come on, girl.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's got to have the lemon zest in there too, right? A little dill. You know, I mean, you can get creative all the way down the board, but it's got to be simple
Yeah.
that way you don't take away
From the
from the
flavor.
oyster, right?
Yeah.
It's there to enhance the oyster flavor rather than take away.
I
Yeah,
get
that's what
it.
I do. That's my theme of cooking anything. Like I can count on my hand how many ingredients go into all my stuff because I try to keep it simple. Same with the oysters. I didn't want to take away the oysters. So we all in the kitchen had to learn to shuck oysters, right? We didn't, and we were lucky enough to do the first Pen Cove Mussel Fest in our restaurant, the Captain Would Be In, back before it was this huge corporate event that it is now.
Wow.
We had like a board where they were writing stuff out in a Sharpie and showing you diagrams to like nine people, right? And we had the mussel chowder, and there was like four of the restaurants doing the mussel chowder, and we had a little cook-off, and it just kind of grew from there. But I was able to be part of that core mussel fest thing. Now it's huge. I mean, we had it last weekend. There's thousands of people, guest chefs and bands and beers and Raw was a big part of that with me, and I would do be a guest chef for the Mussel Fest, and I could go in and do my apple pie mussel and smoked mussel mac and cheese. We do pans of that, and I'd sell each one a portion, like a 1 ounce scoop for a dollar, and we would sell out. We'd bring like $500. It was all for the Boys and Girls Club of Coopville, so I'd yell out, "Hey, a dollar for smoked mussel mac and cheese! It's the best deal you're ever gonna get." And everything else, was huge. But
No,
anyway, sorry. Yeah, I'm
I don't think
trailing off
we're
there.
not gonna roll past this muscle apple pie. We're
Oh,
not gonna roll past that.
posted the recipe on my personal
But
page.
it's literally like apple
It
pie.
tastes like apple pie. It's butter, sweet wine like a Gerstraminer. Let's see. Butter. There's cloves, cinnamon. Granny Smith apples, ginger, and you bring that to a simmer. Well, you cook all the stuff in the wine first, and then you add your mussels, and then you bring that up to temp, and then the mussels will open, and you stir it around. And the apples and the ginger and the cinnamon and the nutmeg all gets mixed in with the mussels, and
Now, is this a traditional recipe or is this something
that's
changed?
what I came up with. I wanted something simple and unique and different, and I did that for 10 years.
Never ever heard of that, Chef Stephen
Thank you.
Clark, ladies and
Great.
gentlemen. So all right, we how was your first experience at Schlafly?
Schlafly. Okay, so like I said, while I was working at the farm, I'd fill in for Raul while he came over here. And after 14 years, I left the farm and I didn't know what the heck I was going to do. So I left there and I went and got back in the restaurant industry after being gone and not in, working saute pans in the dish pit and mopping and sweeping the floor. I got back into it for a year at this barbecue joint called Orlando's. And in that time, they had a little burger trailer called Bubba's Burgers. And I ran Bubba's Burgers. And in any kind of problems that would pop up, we would have to figure out what to do, right? It was like camping, right? So after doing that for a year, I left the Orlando's, and but it took me quitting the farm, and then next March after I quit, hey Steve, would you like to go to St. Louis? Like, are you kidding? Yes, of course I would. I've been waiting for you to invite me to come. So yeah, I came. That was 3 years ago, and I had a wonderful time. I met some awesome people. Miss Doreen, love you, girl. Everybody here, Gardner, of course. Everybody, and it's been just an experience every time I come.
Love it. Now, I know when I met you, I think you told me about this idea you had that you thought would work, of a deli. And recently, the chef has been chefing. Tell me about this idea that you had and where you're at now with it.
Well, it took me okay, so I left the burger trailer, Orlando's Barbecue. I literally quit them. I didn't know what I was gonna do. It was September. I was getting ready to do MC the Oak Harbor Music Festival again. I do that every year, by the way. Thank you, Larry Mason and Cynthia Mason, Oak Harbor Music Festival. You should check them out, oakharbormusicfestival.org. We get some great bands. It's a huge event over Labor Day weekend in Oak Harbor. I'm the MC on the West stage every year. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, so I left the restaurant, did the music festival, didn't know what I was going to do. And I kind of floated from September to December. And then my wife and I, Jean, I love you very much. She found this building and we were able to acquire the center part of a big building with two fold-up garage doors. And there's like a little office, a bathroom, and a little room in the back. Right? That was it. It was like 500 square feet. It's probably about as big as this hotel room, a little smaller actually, right? But it goes long, right? So we acquired that in December, and it was a shithole when we got in there. I mean, it was nicotine stains on the wall and no coving, and the floor was fucked up, and excuse my language. It was awful, right? And Jean had the vision, and she's the part of the team where she has the vision, and I'm the guy holding the thing up while she tacks it in the wall, right? So I kind of saw it, and I was like, okay, so. Northwest Granite and Flooring acquired the building. That's the company she works for. And we were able to rent out that center area, right? So I gutted it. And when I saw you last year here, I was kind of floating because it was March and we were still in the process of tearing the building apart. I'm like, holy shit, what have I got myself into? All my savings is going in here. My nest egg is gone in April, right? My last unemployment check was issued to me the week before I came to St. Louis last year. So I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Oh my God. And then We went to Carl's Deli. Carl's Deli. Carl's Deli. I can't say enough about this guy. We went there and it was like, you know, I'm standing in the back of the church and the light of God is shining at me. Get the band back together. We're going to build a deli. And I took massive pictures. I'm explaining this to everybody here. And okay, great. You know, I kind of went off about it last year. And that's kind of the route. And that's kind of how I designed the menu, was simple, easy. I mean, for the working person, you know, like the guy who has 30 minutes for lunch, right? He's only got 30 minutes for lunch. What's he going to do? He's going to drive into town. He's going to spend 20 minutes of that time driving into town, going through a drive-through, getting a big bag of regret, where they can come see me on the outskirts of town and be in and out there in 10 minutes, and they can be eating their sandwich and scroll for that 20 minutes before they go back to work.
So what you did is you opened a deli, a sandwich shop, and it's called what? And what's the menu look like?
Okay, so it's called Slab City Sammy's. That's what we named it. After... Not after Slab City in California or Nevada. We named it because Northwest Granite and Flooring bought it, and they started storing their slabs of granite and marble and all this tile, the big sheets of beautiful. I mean, they look like aerial maps. That's how gorgeous. And there was like these big teepees in the parking lot. So for a year, Gene and I called it like slab building, slab, you know, where the slabs are. I was like, well, I woke up one morning and it was like, let's call it Slab City. Slab City Sammy's. I don't know why it came to Sammy's, I-E-S, but Sammy's is slang for sandwiches in Australia or New Zealand or something. So we kind of ran Slab City Sammy's. It had a nice little ring to it. And then my neighbor across the street, his daughter is a graphic artist in Bellingham, and she came up with our little logo here with the surfboard and the dog prints and a picture of our sandwich. I don't know if you can see that, but there'll be a link to the sandwich shop after we do the sandwich. Anyway, so yeah, we did a little sandwich thing and she sent us a couple copies. And there's a surfboard on here that has a bite taken out of it. That came from a Herbie Fletcher surfboard that was in my basement for like 10 years. And my blind dog went downstairs, got caught between the hot tub and the wall, and the surfboard was there. And it was right at his mouth level, so he chewed a big hole in the surfboard. And I'm like, what are we going to do with the surfboard? I don't know. We're going to hang on to it. Who knows what's going to happen? So now it's in front of my shop. And we fixed it up. And we put shark bites in it. My buddy who works for fiberglass. Thank you, Matt Milleron, by the way. Would be trikes. He did the fiberglass work for me. And it's wonderful. And it looks like a big shark bite. So that's hanging out in front of the shop. And there's like a little pier we built out of leftover pallets, stained it, and went down, got some driftwood and tied them together. Some 1-inch line that I got from Penco Shellfish when I worked there. So little traits of where I used to work all coming back in there. And the surfboard's in front of the shop, and it's called Slab City Sammy's. And over the last 2 years, my wife and I have been putting this, well, since December previous, we've been building this place, painting, bringing the plumbing in, electrical, new water heater, coving, had to have a professional plumber come in and install the triple sinks, the vegetable sink, the hand sinks. It's a lot, dude. I mean, every day I go in there, I was like, oh, we're going to paint this again. Put an FRP up, you know, the plastic over the walls. And I mean, all this stuff, I had no clue other than the guideline from the health department. We read that thing over and over and over, made sure we did everything by the book. So we had no problems down the road. We didn't cut corners or anything. So here's my life savings, right? Everything's in there. Holy shit. You know, and I was here last year, March. Did the Carl's thing, got inspired, came with the menu, and then the ball rolled really hard after that. And I had a direction. I knew what I was going to do, and I knew what I wanted to do. And I talked to the health department. They guided me along all the way. You know, they're not there to hinder you. They're there to help you. Island County Health Department, thank you very much. Todd was a guiding light for me and a lot of stuff I had no idea what to do. So if you're any questions, just call your health department, man. They're there to help you, man. And he told me about my soups, how I could do my griddle, so I could do grilled cheeses, and what type of meats I can do, how long it's got in there, and my food formula on how much space I have. You know, I'm limited. Yeah, I have like 27 square feet of space in one fridge, 10 feet in another, and a freezer in the back, you know. So that equals like 200 covers a day. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah. See, it's a weird math calculator.
Wow. Well, you're living out your dream. That's all that matters, right?
We've been open now 7 weeks. We opened January 22nd. It's like a death toll for any restaurant. We're going to open in January. It's going to be great, right? I got my health inspection passed on a Thursday. Holy shit, we're gonna pass. Is he coming? He's coming today. Oh my god, he's coming, right? And we, no problem. Yeah, no big deal. I had to become a certified chef, a certified kitchen manager, which took 3 weeks of me sitting in front of a monitor with a little guy in the corner.
Right.
You know, I had to scan the room to make sure I wasn't cheating and shit. You know, was, you know, did all that. And Thursday I passed my health inspection. Friday I got my first Sysco delivery. Saturday, Sunday, I was in there 40 hours figuring out the flow, figuring out what I had to do to make this pastrami, what I had to do to make this turkey, what is going to be the fastest formula to get it out to the guy standing at the window. And I figured it out. I had a sandwich station, salad station, drink station, cash register, slicer, hand washing sink. Boom, out the door. And most importantly, my bump box, which is a big giant radio that just thumps. You gotta have music in your kitchen, man.
Roger that.
I cannot stress that enough. Yeah.
So, you know, before we get back to that,
yeah.
So, are you a musician?
Yes.
Because you spoke a few times
going
about
to Guitar Center today. Yeah.
Yeah, you spoke a few times about, you know, having a concert and then you're emceeing. So, man, you're multifaceted.
Well, thank you. Yes, I don't like to stay stagnant.
All right.
I'm a drummer in a band called Monkey Hill for many years. I have my own studio downstairs in the studio. I play bass, guitar, drums, and I yell into the mic. And as you can tell, my voice is voice for radio, but a face no.
You know, it's crazy because I've been thinking about this whole time. So, man, I'm gonna have to do a lot of editing. Because you project, which is not a bad thing. It's not a bad
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, keep that thing over there. And when I'm on stage, it's like, you know, hey, how you doing? I talk to like one guy in the audience, unless I'm talking to the beer garden. You know,
mm-hmm.
I project to one person. I pick out one person. Hey, how you doing out there? How you feeling? Good, do, do, do. You know, but yeah. I'm kind of animated this morning.
I don't think I've heard your radio voice, but that's a great radio voice.
Oh, without thank drawing. You. Well, thank you. Yeah.
I'm picking. I got to write down some tips now. I hear that. All right, man. So,
yeah,
what's the location of your sandwich shop, and how can people keep up with your journey and anything else you want to add, specials or, you know, whatever you want to add? It's your time, man. Look into the camera right there, as a kid say.
Okay, it's how you cook mussels on the beach. We're called Slab City Sammies. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. That's pretty much our only outlet right now. I'm building a website. I'm doing it all in trade with people. We got signage up now. We got a big yellow man that floats around out there. We're in a business park, so we're kind of hard to find, but we're like a speakeasy for sandwich shops. But what you know, and you're going to come out of there with a big old bag of goodness. We recently got interviewed by Whidbey News Times. We're at 648 Mobius Loop, Oak Harbor, Washington. Area code 360-675-4675 is our phone number. And we're located in Oak Harbor, and we're open Monday through Friday, 10:30 to 4:30. And if you're really nice, I can send you a sandwich.
Look at you.
I don't know how I'm going to do that, but I'll figure it out. Hey, man, if this guy can send mussels across America, I don't know why I can't send a sandwich across America.
That's true.
So, yeah.
That's true.
I haven't thought about getting a sandwich from Carl's. Like, can you send me a pastrami, like 10 pastrami sandwiches?
That pastrami I had today was amazing.
Yeah, Carl's is fantastic. They're, like I told him, he was an inspiration for me. Yeah. And it was a catalyst for my idea for the shop. And I am a to the moon, Alice, when I walk in there. You saw me today. I was like, oh my God, I'm meeting Metallica.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I felt, man. I felt like I'm meeting a rock star. I mean, you're like the guy. It's, or like you met Gordon Ramsay, or I can't get it. And you talked to Doreen's story today. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's how I felt, you know. It's like, and yeah, speaking of Doreen, I want to cap on that too. I want to talk about Doreen's friend pack, Pack for Friends. We're going to work on that title. But
yes.
Doreen's friend pack, she talked about a pack for people going through, I'm going to say chemotherapy, right? That's kind of what I'm going to diagnose. You get diagnosed with cancer. You get a pack that is kind of a survival kit for people going through treatment and trying to battle this awful disease, cancer. I think Slab City should get behind that 100%, and we are. So we're gonna build on that together, and there'll be more information on that on our website coming soon. So, and this is the first you're gonna hear for it. But thank you, Gardner, for having me. This is wonderful. We're gonna go to Guitar Center now and buy some new gear, and we're gonna go to City Museum. We're gonna have a good time, and we're gonna have a fantastic dinner tonight. And then we're going to do the Oyster Shucker Dome Friday and Saturday here in St. Louis. That's why we're here. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm running out of words. So, love you guys. Thank you.
And that's a wrap. Appreciate you for listening to the Oyster Ninja podcast once again. So, you can follow us on social media, Oyster Ninja PC.
Oyster 365, SlabCitySammies.com. Find us.